the songs.
Let me turn this on.
Once again, the songs and the prayer pretty much cover what I was going to talk about. But I'll keep going nonetheless. In the 139th Psalm, it says, I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. The human body and what we can do with it. There we go. My screen over here keeps going black. For those of you that are visitors, I'm having to use two different things here. So, we are talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 talks about glorifying God in the body. Of course, we will make the point that glorifying God and in the body is referring to our physical body and also the body of Christ, the church. We make reference to the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes to the Corinthians in two different places, and one alludes to the temple of the Holy Spirit as our physical bodies, and one to the temple of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ, the church. And we will understand that with respect to spiritual matters, the two are very closely tied together. Let's see if I can keep up here. Yes. And so, there we go. Consider some of the things that our body does. In 24 hours, our heart beats 103,689 times. Our blood travels through your body 1,400 times in an hour. You breathe 23,040 times. Once again, in 24 hours, I mean. And I'm messing up here. Okay, hang on. I'll get the hang of this yet. 24 hours, you inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat 3.25 pounds of food in 24 hours. Some of us do that in one deep dish pizza. You drink 2.9 quarts of liquids. You speak 4,800 words. This is average, of course. You move 750 different muscles. In 24 hours, your nails grow. What is that? 46 thousandths of an inch. Your hair grows about 1/32 of an inch in 24 hours. You exercise 7 million brain cells. Indeed, God created the body in an amazing way. By the way, He owns it. It's no wonder that our bodies are so amazingly made, wonderfully made. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20, it says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price, and therefore glorify your God in your body and spirit, which are God's." I want to ask you something. We talked about some really interesting statistics. And look at your physical body. Many of us have parts of our bodies that are no longer functioning in the way that they should. For example, I have a heart that has goofy electrical, sends goofy electrical messages. And sometimes the doctor has to go in there with some kind of a light and a laser something, and he kills some of these things. It's called heart ablution, I think. I call it heart obliteration. I don't know how much of that he can do. And then also, I have a pancreas that isn't working, and therefore there's a lot of things in my body that aren't working, like, you know, it produces insulin, and that isn't working right. And I have, what else do I have? Anyway, I got things that are going, but you know what? I'm functioning. A lot of that has to do with the fact that my body can compensate for some things that aren't functioning properly. You know, if you lose your eyesight, your other senses get more intense, things like that. God has also provided for man to develop medications and such that can keep me going, even though my thyroid and my pancreas are not working properly. You know what? You've got, most of us, I think everybody here, has got two legs. And you've got a brain that's, my legs work together. You know, they don't work together as good as they used to. I stumble some. I've got arms that work together. And I've got hands and fingers that allow me to eat the delicious food that the brethren serve me. And by the way, that my wife cooks back at home also. I got eyes that can see. And ears that can hear. Why do I have these things? Why do I have these things? Well, you know, I've got feet, so I can put one in front of the other, and go places. You know? I've got arms that I can reach and hold and climb. I got eyes that I can see, so I don't walk in front of a bus or walk into a tree and. Well, I did that once, but that's because I wasn't paying attention. And so I've got a stomach that's functioning. And why is that? Why is that? We read that Psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why do we have all these? Why do we have such an amazing body? And we sit back and we glorify God because look at what we can do. Wait a minute, what did I just say? We glorify God. That's why we can work and function the way that we do. God didn't create us so that we would have all of these benefits for our pleasure. Indeed, we have gained great pleasure from it. But God created us. This amazing living creature, this amazing living body, for one purpose, and that's to bring glory to His name.
Amen.
I want you to keep that in mind, because as we've gone through things yesterday, and as we go through things through the rest of the week, the reason for everything is to bring glory to His name. That's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. And so, we should pay careful attention to how we treat and present our bodies and the things that our bodies do. Now, I'm not going to have a lesson here this morning, this evening, on how it's wrong to overeat, or it's wrong to drink coffee, or it's wrong to drink carbonated beverages, you know, or that it's wrong to eat frozen custard or whatever. One of the reasons, because I do all these things. But that's not what this lesson is about. Why should we be careful how we treat and present our bodies and the things that our bodies do? Remember, here's the reason why. We are to glorify God in our physical body. Well, of course, our bodies, why is that? Our bodies are destined for resurrection. When we use up our bodies in our life, in this life, and our bodies may be practically wasted away to nothing, but no matter, because we are destined for resurrection. God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. See, this isn't the important thing, this life. It's important in the respect that we use it properly and glorify God in everything that we do. But He's created us to be with Him for all eternity, you see. And we glorify God in our physical body. And what that means is that we will keep it from sin. Okay? Wait a minute. Let me go back here. Yes. Okay, we will keep it from sin. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, "Food's for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and them." Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for what? But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Here's what our body is for. It's for the Lord, to glorify God, right? And the Lord is for the body. The Lord is for our body. You know what Paul says, "I no longer me that lives, but Christ lives in me." We need to look at Jesus Christ as a real physical sense in our body. We need to think in terms of, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We need to get that in our minds and in our hearts. It doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense, but we need to understand that and practice it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. It's one of the things that's going to judge us in the last day. We know from John chapter 12 and verse 48 that it is the word that's going to judge us. But it's going to, and so we've got the word and we've got what we do. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to be judged, that we receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, we need to get down to business and use our bodies for good. There's only one good. That is to glorify God. Everything that we do that is consistent with his word, everything that we do in service to him, everything that we do in service to others, there's one important thing. It brings glory to God. That's what it's all about. And we're going to be judged on that, on that final day. Well, we can look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I want to suggest to you that it probably wouldn't do you any good to cut out your eye or cut off your hand, because our sins come from the heart. But here's the point. Glorify God in your body. If you're not glorifying God in your body, you're better off without that part of your body that is not bringing glory to God. You're better off without it if you want to get to heaven. Because that's what our responsibility is, you see. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And let's read that. I have up there verse 5. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. If we have spent our life determining to glorify God, I put that in there. Therefore, see what it says? When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. And, you know, I look at that passage and I think, wait a minute. Am I going to appear for him in glory? Am I going to appear before him in glory, or am I going to appear before him in dishonor? And I want to suggest to you that there's kind of a sense in which all of us that are Christians appear before him in glory. We will be glorified and then cast out if we're not faithful, if we haven't glorified him. And so he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We are going to appear before God, so get rid of this nasty stuff. You know, if we're going to appear before somebody important, maybe you're going to get married and you're going to appear before the whoever's presiding over the marriage. What's the custom? You dress up. What's a custom? Bride wears white. A man wears a tux. You're going to appear before him in a glorious way. You get rid of, for that day at least, you get rid of all the old, dirty, ripped, torn clothing, and you appear to him in the proper way. If we want to appear before God in glory and stand before him rejoicing and righteous and redeemed, we need to get rid of the bad stuff. 1 Peter chapter 4. I don't want to read the first five verses of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We've spent enough of our time in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. And we've done to these, at this point there's them and there's us. That's the way we need to think about it. And that's the point here. There are those that are righteous, that are in Christ and trying to do right, and then there's them. And they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. But hey, there's more. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Who's going to be judged righteous? The one who is glorifying God in his body. Glorify God in your physical body. If we do that, we will take care of it. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28. Here's something that we read about in the Old Testament. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, tattoos, nor tattoos or any marks on you. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And that's the point that he's making. Are tattoos sinful? I want to suggest to you that they aren't in this. But depending on what you're using, depending on what they are and where they are, and what you use them for, that's the point that he's making here. Any cuttings in your flesh, what? For the dead. You're not doing this to glorify God. You're doing this to serve the world. And that's not satisfied. The Lord is not satisfied. I am the Lord, is what he's saying, you see. I, me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Now here in the New Testament, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And of course, Paul is talking about the things that were forbidden under the old law. He's making the point that's not it anymore. All things are lawful for me. I'm not going to be brought under the power. Nobody's going to tell me I have to do it. I'm not going to have to feel compelled to do it because that's what they do in the law, old law, or anything else. Okay? I will not be brought under the power of any. A lot of times when we look at this verse, we talk about, things that are addictive. And so we won't be brought under the power of anything. But there's a lot of things that we allow ourselves to be brought under the power of. That's not proper grammar, is it? A lot of things. We got this favorite television show we want to watch. We like to run. We get up every morning and run. And so, for example, let me give you an example. You won't know who I'm talking about, and this was almost 40 years ago. But a couple men come and hold a meeting for us. One of the men was a runner. He was like a long-distance runner. He'd sit down, he wouldn't eat a meal, but he'd bring a loaf of whole wheat bread, and he'd eat that whole thing while we're having a meal. And he'd get out and run every day. And he'd leave my house, and he'd run down to the lakefront. It's over 10 miles. And I know he was doing it because he'd describe things and see what he saw and come back. So he'd run 20 miles rather quickly. He liked to wear shorts. Well, we explained to them that we don't think that shorts, the kind of shorts that he was wearing at least, are modest. We think they're immodest. And so apparently in order not to offend us, would go out in the morning with his long sweatpants on. And when he got out of the house, he'd take these sweatpants off. He had his running shorts underneath. He'd put his sweatpants behind the bushes. And he'd run all the way down and come back again. I didn't find out that till later. You know why I found out? My neighbors told me. And they knew how we felt and what we taught. Well, here was something that I would suggest to you, that this man was brought under the power of. Because this was so important to him. And he was doing that type of thing. Okay? And we need to be very concerned about that in everything. Everything that we do, we ought to ask ourselves, does this hurt or help my body? Am I going to not live as long? Am I going to get overweight? Am I going to have this physical problem or that physical problem? And so that's what we ought to ask. Wait a minute. That's not what it says. That's not the important thing. We ought to ask ourselves, does this hurt or help my service to God? Now, how we take care of our bodies physically might well have something to do with that. But the important thing is serving God and bringing glory to His name. That's why we do these things, you see. We're to glorify God in the spiritual body. We made the point at the beginning. We're talking about our physical body. We're talking about the body of Christ. You, if you are here, if you are a member, you are a member of Christ's body. If you're here and you're not in Christ, listen very carefully. There are no spiritual blessings outside of the body of Christ. And my Bible teaches me that how you get into the body of Christ is by developing a faith in Jesus Christ and a determination to serve and obey Him and then respond to His invitation in His way. And the way you do that is you're baptized into Christ. And my Bible teaches me that it's at the point of baptism that the working of God saves you. Water baptism. And then, and only then, do you have access to all spiritual blessings according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. So, are you a member of the body of Christ? We will talk to you. You are. He wants us to use, he rather wants to use you for your good and his glory. Did you see what I wrote there? He wants to use you for your good and for his glory. The two are tied together. Anytime you glorify God, anytime you glorify God in your body, it's for your good. You benefit. Anytime there's a commandment, anytime there's something we do for the Lord, there's a blessing that is involved in that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Excuse me. Okay, I'm ready to go. I told the young lady up here last night I only act this way so people feel sorry for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "Food for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. The body is not for sexual immorality, but what? The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." We made reference to that before. Now, in verse 27, I want to read starting in verse 12, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Let's just read that a little bit. Yeah, we got a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the one, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slaves, freed, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many members. We're talking about the body of Christ now. Okay? We are all one. But we're all different. We're all different parts, you know, like the human body. And so in verse 27 it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." And so let's keep that in mind. And remember that the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Glorify God in the spiritual body. In other words, glorify God in the church. Once again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 13 through 21. You've heard this before. You'll hear it again, and I will keep reminding you as long as I'm in this body. Verse 12. As the body is one, has many members, all members of that one body, being many, one body, so also is Christ. By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. You know, if you want to look around you, you can see that. You can see that in the church, in the body of Christ. Well, compare it to the physical body. If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. You know why we're made the way we're made? Because it pleased God. God saw that what he made, and he saw that it was good. Okay. Moving on. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members and yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And these members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have the greater modesty. And it goes on. And that's the way we need to think of the body. If I'm thinking I'm important, because I'm up here, and you're important because I need somebody to listen to me, we got it all wrong, brothers and sisters. I remember one brother who was painfully shy. He'd come to services, and he wouldn't say more than a few words. He would never come to a potluck or anything like that. He was painfully shy. But gradually we saw things being fixed in the building. And he would be there when nobody else was there. And he'd take care of things that needed to be taken care of. Things that other people didn't want to do. Was he important? Of course he was important. Let's consider Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. And I want to read verses 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom, get this, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the occasional working by which some of those parts do their share. And so gradually and slowly the body grows. That's not what it says. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's talk about this a minute. Causes growth of the body for the edifying, building up of itself in love. If we are not conscious of the body, if we are not examining the needs and realizing what we can do, we're not demonstrating love. And without that kind of love, the body will not grow. It's my understanding that there's been a lot of emphasis on these type of things here in the church in Elgin. And I can't stress too much how important that is. It's important for us to obey God. It's important for us to do things right. Every time that I've found that Paul or others deal with a problem, with a doctrinal problem, the problem of practice, he goes on to say about how important it is for us to have the right attitude. The edifying, the effective working of each share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There you have it, you see. How important that is. We're going to go on. What did I just do? We're going to go on and read a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the lesson will soon be yours. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to read, first of all, verses 3 through 5. Now we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us, by the will of God. We talked about that yesterday, the Macedonians. First they gave themselves to the Lord, and we see how they did it. They served Him by serving others. Their poverty didn't matter. They did what was needed. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It says, "You, brethren, have been called to liberty. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity in the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When we treat others badly, are we glorifying God? No, we're cannibal. We are cannibalizing the church. I hear the message back there. It's time for me to wrap it up. Let's ask some questions. Whose body are you? Whose body are you using? And what are you doing with it? What I mean by that is, are you living for yourself? If you are, you've already received your reward. If you desire eternal life, live for Him who died for you. And that's the lesson. By the way, the alarm that went off back there reminded me of the first time I ever held a gospel meeting, almost 40 years ago. And I was holding a gospel meeting in South Bend, Indiana. And there was a woman that was in charge of the activities for a nursing home with some rather serious patients. She asked me if I would come and speak to them. I was just started preaching. I said, sure. So I got there and had this large room. She had everybody in there that wasn't bed-bound. And I began to talk, and I began to preach. And immediately, one of the ladies sitting in the front in a wheelchair, she started and kept shouting, "Shut up!" I didn't get the hint. But I've got it tonight. The lesson is yours. Open your songbook to number 911. Is that right? Number 911. Is that right? Who's singing? Okay. All right. Bring Christ your broken life. You know, that's it. We need to be thinking about this as we go through this and as we go through our lives. It's not easy. Being a Christian isn't easy. It's not for sissies. We fall short. Sometimes we feel terribly, terribly broken. And we don't know what to do. I'm working with a couple right now that have left because they feel that way. And they don't think that God is going to, they just don't think they are able to do it. And here's the advice to them, to you, to all of us. Bring Christ your broken heart. Let's stand and sing.
Bring Christ.